Okay, it is 4 o'clock, so we'll call the meeting to order. Can we get a roll call, please?
Friend?
Here.
Excel?
Here.
Neubauer?
Here.
Jundl?
Here.
Hovick?
Here.
Thanks.
All right, we've got the agenda in front of us. Any revisions to the agenda today?
Motion to approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor of approving agenda as submitted, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Agenda is approved. Moving on to the minutes. Any revisions to the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
And all those in favor of approving the minutes as submitted, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Public comments. Do we have public comments that are not related to our hearing tonight? It looks like we've just got Nathan and Chloe on the phone. So moving on. We have the findings of fact from last month's meeting. Are there any revisions to that document?
No, I would move that we accept the findings of fact for CUP 25-18.
Second.
Okay, can we get a roll call vote on that one, please?
Excel?
Yes.
Jundl?
Yes.
Friend?
Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Hovick?
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, and we can go to our public hearing, CUP 25-12.
Okay, this is an application from CTI ReadyMix to establish a permanent concrete batch plant. If it would adjust. The applicant is Civil Design Advantage, LLC. Aaron Olendijk is the representative from CDA. Again, the applicant is CTI, or the property owner and is Des Moines Heavy Industrial LLC, but the CTI ReadyMix is kind of what we associate with that. The parcel is a little over 44 acres in size, both gross and net. The property is located at 3500 560th Avenue. You'll see in site shots here, or aerial photo here shortly, it shows the location, but it's just southwest of the 3530 interchange in Grant Township. Parcel number is there on the screen, but it's located in section 19. The districts are also located there. The important ones to note is A1 agricultural. It is also the last one is the floodway fringe, and it's in, from the special flood hazard area. So this is a request for a conditional use permit, as I stated earlier, to establish a ready mix concrete plant, asphalt paving, mixture plants, and small ancillary products manufactured by the plant operations, utilizing excess material, and this is I want to stress this, in conjunction with and adjacent to a mineral extraction and primary mineral processing operation. That's defined in section 90.02, issuance of conditional use permits, and then found in table 90-1, table of conditional uses. I stress that in conjunction with and adjacent to a mineral extraction and primary mineral processing operation, because the application as it sits today is not meeting that requirement. There is a letter of understanding between CTI and the property owners that's been provided that shows some transfer of ownership, including an agreement to mine properties, so you will ultimately meet that requirement. County staff did address this when we went to the Planning Zoning Commission and then now to you through a condition of approval that provides an opportunity for and a time frame for the Board of Adjustment if the certain condition is not satisfied to actually revoke the conditional use permit, again, because it's not meeting the letter of intent of the law and the ordinance. There is one active CUP for mineral extraction and primary mineral processing on a property contiguous to the north across the road. The agreement does reference using this site to meet the requirements for mineral extraction. There has been a draft restrictive covenants developed by staff that has been forwarded to the applicant and the county attorney's office to really address the issue. The parcel under consideration to some history has been in a configuration since 1996. A house dating back to the turn of the 20th century was there. That house no longer exists, but there are some outbuildings still on site that were related to that farmstead use. And the current property owner acquired the site in 2019. So again, this is the aerial of the property. The star represents the general area where the proposed use will occur. As you can see, the site is a lot larger than just the start area. This is Interstate 35. The red limits here are the city of Ames. The light blue is the floodway or the floodway and floodway fringe boundaries in the special flood hazard area. Current surrounding land use is generally agricultural, with the exception of this property right here. Again, this is the existing mineral extraction use. As I stated earlier, the property is zoned A1 agricultural. All proposed uses will retain that zoning. If you did a site visit, you didn't probably see some scrub brush and trees. Those are all volunteer, and the county, Story County Conservation does not have any issues with those being removed, again, because they're volunteer species. It does contain those outbuildings, and then there's a waterway on further south on the property. The property is designated on our C2C plan and as both natural resource areas and urban expansion areas. And the staff report went into details on those principles and goals, and to be more brief, I won't go into those unless you have any questions. The only thing I will note, the urban expansion area designation is related to the cities and their future growth plans. The city of Ames did not offer any comments regarding this particular land use, so we don't have any concerns with that C2C plan designation being met. The natural resource area designation is on site primarily due to the floodplain, presence of floodplain on the site. The applicant is aware that floodplain permits would be required for any type of development on that location. So getting into the proposed layout, the conditional use permit has two areas. Sorry, I changed my slide order. If you look at the site plan that was submitted, the site plan limits are this entire site. The property goes on further to the south here. North is to the right of the screen. The limits of the development really for this application are within this gray area. This is where the batch plant would be, the truck parking, the employee parking, the garbage and dumpster in this location. This where this X is identified as a future phase 2. While the conditional use permit could apply to this entire boundary, the use in this phase 2 could not occur without a modification to the conditional use permit. So just showing it by future use, we would recommend that not be while it includes that phase 2 gravel area, that would, again, require a conditional modification. This gray area, though, is about 3.87 acres. Just some shots. I went online before the Planning and Zoning Commission to CTI's website and just different ideas. I wanted an idea of what their operations look like. In general, pretty standard for a concrete batch plant, what you see. At the Planning and Zoning Commission, I could have told you where these were, but at this point, I don't remember exactly. I think this one might be Jewel, actually, in the lower right-hand corner. As the Board of Adjustment is aware, all conditional use permits must meet the standards for approval as defined in Chapter 90.04. Just a general comment that not all requirements are satisfied, primarily due to the contiguity to the use to make it meet the requirements. Those exceptions are really noted below in the staff report that was addressed. And then I'll go through them as we go through each standard and say if a condition of approval is recommended or not. The compatibility standard, again, this is approximately 1/2 mile from the city limits of Ames. Surrounding properties or agricultural production or, again, in current extraction operations. The one immediately north, and that, as you know, further north to right along the Interstate 30 or Interstate 35 Highway 30 interchange. And then we do have some other heavy industrial activities occurring further west. The surround or activities will not be unsightly or obnoxious to surrounding land uses. It's keeping with commercial industrial development, as I just said, that's occurred around Interstate 35 Highway 30 interchange. The concern, however, is, though, that the use proposed cannot be approved unless it's in conjunction with an adjacent to a mineral extraction and primary mineral processing operation. So without that state, the staff cannot conclude the standard is satisfied, and that's why we drafted that condition of approval regarding the agreement, which we are now calling a restrictive covenant. Same thing really goes for transition. While we do know that the 50-foot setback is required for conditional use permits and the proposed buildings meet that requirement, it's contiguous to and near gravel and sand operation sites. The use, again, we cannot say that the standard is satisfied without that condition of approval. Traffic, the applicants did indicate that the site would run 5 to 10 concrete trucks daily before the Planning and Zoning Commission, which you probably saw in the conditions of approval. We did not know how many average trips per day that would be, though. The applicants did provide that information. They estimated throughout the year the average trips per day are about 10 to 14. Some daily trips in the summer months will be greater, and the wintertime it'll be less. Based on those numbers, staff does conclude the standard is satisfied. For parking, staff again finds this standard for approval can be met with conditions of approval regarding parking. Prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission, there was a comment that we were concerned about the maximum number of parking numbers. The applicant did clarify that while the proposed site plan shows 23 parking spaces, only 10 of those 23, 10 are used to park the concrete trucks. So when they're not in operation, those will be used. Those are on the north property line, and they were marked as truck parking. With that, staff does concur that the maximum parking ratios are satisfied, but we would recommend a condition of approval that would require signage defining those spaces for only truck parking. Signs and lighting, staff does not have any concerns. The standards for approval are met. There is a condition of approval that does that is recommended by staff as well as the Planning and Zoning Commission that does address our dark sky requirements. Environmental protection, some concerns were related to the wetland study that was submitted with the application. It did not include this property that's under review this evening. They did have that wetland study revised, however, and it was submitted after the Planning and Zoning Commission, but prior to this evening's meeting. And that study did note that where the proposed conditional use permit is and the activity, wetlands do not occur on that site. There are some on the property, but not in that exact location. So that recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission was satisfied. Now, I'll go over those in detail with the discussion of the commission's recommendations. Again, the property is designated as natural resource area on the C2C plan because of the floodplain designation. Story County Health Department did provide a lot of comments and concerns, though, regarding the existing well on site and any potential impacts related to a new well. And at the time that this staff report and the presentation was prepared, the permits for well and septic have not been issued at this time, and I'll address that through the conditions of approval. Environmental health, though, did provide some information as to the existing well location according to their records. So the proposed use will take place in this area. Well, this bottom half is phase two, but in this northern part, the wells are where basically the original farmstead was. This Red Star, however, is the City of Ames well field. So our environmental health had some concerns regarding the proximity to those well fields. So you know that those are the standards for approval, but then if these five development impacts cannot be satisfied, you cannot issue a conditional use permit. So again, in conjunction with and adjacent to a mineral extraction, primary mineral processing operation is a concern to be able to say that development impacts are all satisfied. And so without that state, staff cannot conclude that they are all satisfied. And again, that's why we recommend that condition of approval. I feel like I'm repeating that statement a lot, actually. As you know, all conditional use permits that are brought before the Planning and Zoning Commission and Board of Adjustment, we do notify within a quarter mile of the property boundaries, as well as the cities that are within that 2 mile radius. And in this case, we did send those notices out on September 24th. We have not received any feedback, writing or in phone calls, at the time that I prepared this presentation. So on October 1st, the Planning and Zoning Commission did review the proposed case number 25-000012 and recommended approval subject to the following conditions of approval. They're on the following slides. I will note as we go through staff's comments or if we have additional recommendations, those are noted in blue. And I'll work through. Instead of having two slides, since they're pretty repetitive, or two sets of slides, I just did it this way. The first one was action that the applicant needed to have completed prior to coming before the Story County Board of Adjustment. So A is the applicant shall provide additional information regarding how many trips each concrete truck will run daily to determine total potential impacts. As I stated during the presentation, this has been addressed by the applicant. So that is no longer a recommended condition of approval. Item B is that revisions to the site plan must be completed to demonstrate compliance with maximum parking requirements. Applicant did indicate the revisions will be submitted to staff. I know there was a site plan that was resubmitted that we'll look at in greater detail, but they have addressed that. And we also do address that through a recommended condition of approval by staff that is number 12. Letter C is the applicant shall submit an updated wetland study for the site. As I noted, this has been done. Items D and E talk about the septic permits and the well permits. Those have not been submitted. Staff did reach out and ask if those had been done. And the applicants noted that permits will be obtained should this project be approved and move forward, and did ask whether this can be added as a condition of approval. I'll get to that comment later on in my presentation. So item number D talks about that in conjunction with, and this is where we have draft restrictive covenants that have been compiled and sent to both the applicant and the county attorney's office for review. These would need to be signed, and then that would meet that requirement of the being in conjunction with. They can't be signed, though, until our county attorney's office and the applicant have come to agreement how they're worded. Number three is the conditional use permit be limited to property within what is identified as site plan limits. Again, as I noted in the presentation, the work cannot occur in the area marked as phase two gravel area future without a modification to this conditional use permit. We just don't know what that means at this time. All DNR permits shall be submitted to the Planning and Development Department prior to beginning construction or earthwork. This includes the NPDES permit and approved SWIP air quality permits, as well as any floodplain permits that may be required from the Iowa DNR for grading and construction work in the floodplain. Number five builds on that floodplain. A floodplain permit from Story County Planning and Development will be required for the proposed development. Along with that, we'll require a flood evacuation plan and then elevation certificates and or floodproofing certificates will be required prior to construction, then as-built. Item number six, any security lighting must conform to the lighting standards in sections 88.09 and 90.04. This includes any lighting over 1,800 lumens must be fully shielded and pointed down. Condition number seven, during wet conditions on the gravel road, concrete operations will cease. Number eight, proposed hours of operation will be limited to 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. from April through October and 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. the remaining months. Condition number nine, landscaping and required screening required by the regulations shall be installed within 180 days of the issuance of the final zoning permit. Staff comment, I noted the staff report did not include that highlighted language. However, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation did. I failed to incorporate that into the staff report. So staff's recommendation is to add that highlighted portion as well. Staffing of the number 10 is staffing of the site, including the maximum number of concrete trucks loading from the site is limited to that as outlined in the application materials. Any increase beyond requires application for a modification to the conditional use permit. Condition number 11, the conditional use permit ceases when the lease agreements extractions end and the site must be restored to pre-development state. And then the new one staff is recommending to the Board of Adjustment deals with that parking of the truck parking signage defining a proposed 10 parking spaces intended for use only by concrete truck parking be installed. So with that, staff does have a change in our recommendation from what we put in the staff report. Because we do not have those well and septic permits at this time, we are recommending that the conditional use permit be remanded back to the applicant to complete that process and then bring that back to the Board of Adjustment for final action, review, and action. If you look at the adopted regulations, the objective of conditional use permits is to encourage compatibility of the proposed development with the environment and with existing and future land uses in the area, really without knowing whether or not well and septic permits can be issued or where those locations are. I cannot stand here as staff and say we have met that requirement or that objective of conditional use permits. I know the applicant has some concerns with that recommendation, and we'll ask you to consider elsewise as well. Are there questions for me?
Maybe just a question on the connection between the extraction and the concrete plant. Is that just a part of the CUP accepted conditional uses that they need to be tied together, or what is the...
Yeah, that it's been worded that way in our conditional use permit chapter for, I have not done the history, but I don't think I've ever not known it to be that way.
That's coming from the accepted conditional uses.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Now, if you're heavy industrial, you don't have to have that arrangement. You can just have a concrete batch plant on the site under the heavy industrial use.
But under A1,
let me back up. If you're zone heavy industrial, it would say use by right as a, so just a straight zoning permit use. You don't have to have a conditional use permit. In the A1 district, you do have to have a conditional use permit, and that conditional use permit has to be in conjunction with mineral extraction.
Board, other questions?
Maybe a little more on the definition of conjunction with an adjacent. So it's going across, but does it have to be the same ownership, or what's the agreement that's getting put together that will satisfy that conjunction?
There will be different owners.
It'll
be a different ownership pattern.
But it'll be like an agreement to work together or supply each other's, but basically what they're going to supply to satisfy the requirement.
Right.
Okay.
And you said that was across 35?
It's across. I'll go back to.
Okay.
I'm going to show you this. It's right here where this pond is.
Okay.
So this is the area of the proposed conditional use permit and then this property. The applicant does own, or the property owner does own contiguous property as well that may be used at a future date for gravel extraction, so that agreement may not be necessitated. But until that conditional use permit is granted, this was the solution that we came up with.
So one of the things you said was about trips per day. So if they have 10 trucks and each truck is 10 to 14 trips a day, it's somewhere in the 100 to 140 trips per day?
No, my understanding from the applicant is that each truck will go out and in one time per day or more, I mean, on average.
Okay. And anything above that, they'd have to come back for a modification.
I think if we hear that it becomes excessive, we'll work with the applicant.
It seems like a 10 to 14 seemed low, and that's why I wondered.
I will note, it does say in there that anything above the number of employees on site, and that by default will be tied to the materials that are presented in the application.
So on the one slide, it did say the one that was what the planning and zoning sent, the one that had yours and then the blue, or theirs and the blue. Yeah, go back, yeah. How many trips each concrete truck will run daily? But you're saying the total number of all trucks is 10 to 14.
That is what the applicant has indicated.
Yeah, I just wondered if that, maybe we should, I don't know. That was confusing.
We can ask him when they have a chance to talk.
I guess I had a question too. One of the conditions is regarding wet road conditions. I wanted to just ask the question, do we have any conditions in existence in the county that are applying that say? Because my question would be, how do you begin to monitor, enforce, et cetera, not using trucks on beyond the concrete truck getting stuck in the road?
Right.
I'm not sure how you exactly enforce that.
Do you know if En-ROADS, I think En-ROADS has that condition. Our county engineer, Darren Moon, would send out information. If it came to the point where the engineer's office would go to the board to embargo roads, that would immediately cease operations.
And that would, is it fair to assume that would happen through someone, you know, damage to the road that is occurring, right, and the engineer gets involved? Okay.
And this is a little bit unique, though, because let me go back to this slide. When you get to this purple, this is all the right-of-way. I think it's purple. At this point, this road is – oh, shoot, sorry. At this point, this road is publicly owned. So it's only this stretch from here north to where it goes up to Dayton Avenue.
You mean privately owned?
Yes, I said publicly, okay. Didn't I?
It was – yeah.
You guys are looking at – this is why I don't take time off.
Okay, you
public,
also mentioned
privately opened.
You also mentioned that the county had some water concerns. What are they? Something that we should be aware of? Is there
the concern is this red star is the city of Nevada's
right
well field.
Right.
Without knowing exactly where the well is going to go, the depth of the well, there was not a way for the Story County Environmental Health Department to ascertain any potential impacts to a public water supply.
Do we know what the existing well, like the depth and information on that is?
I don't think they know that. If they do, I don't.
The idea is if they pull a permit, then you would be able to investigate deeper,
mm-hmm,
and start making some comparisons and judgments.
Right.
And I'm just picturing washouts, you know, washing out a lot of concrete trucks and with their well being right there. A lot of calcium and limestone.
What?
Oh, will they have to have a special NPDES permit, like a type 3 or something? Yeah. Okay. We know what we're talking about, yeah.
Well, I'm just, I was going to say that's a question you, that okay. Since you asked that, the applicant can answer on the record.
Okay. So I'll ask that again when any other she's up there.
I think we that's can good. Transition.
Okay. Well, applicant, if you would go to the floor, then if you could state your name and address, please, and then proceed. Tell us about your project.
Got it. Is that better? Okay. Again, Erin Olendyke with Civil Design Advantage. My address is 4121 Northwest Urbandale Drive in Urbandale. Here tonight on, or this afternoon, on behalf of CTI Ready Mix, Brad Ballmer is also here with CTI. So to address your question about the permitting, concrete facilities require a general permit number 3, which we have already obtained. I just probably haven't sent it to the county yet, but we already have that permit. And with regards to the concrete washout, their system is completely contained and they're required to have it that way. So the runoff from that concrete washout can't run across the property. It's all self-contained and they clean it out every, I don't know however often they need to. So it doesn't ever interact with that well location. And going back just a little bit to the septic and well permits. I mean, we are in contact. In fact, we submitted a septic report that the septic engineer had put together. The perk tests have already been done and everything is good on that end. They just haven't physically applied for that permit yet. And with regards to the well permit, they're in talks or they're working with Gingrich. And they indicated that there's no issue. The wells for this site would only be about 50 to 100 foot depth is what they're saying, right? The city wells are much deeper. So they're not even, I mean, while they are in the same maybe aquifer, they're much shallower. So it doesn't interfere with that, the city wells. And so that's why we are asking for approval contingent upon getting those permits. I mean, they're ready to submit them as soon as we have this approval. We just have not submitted them yet because we were waiting for approval from to allow the use, basically, which is kind of a common process in the industry, I would say.
If public, please not speak off the mic because minutes are being taken. Thank you.
Yeah, and there is cost associated with those permits that they didn't want to, you know, put forth those kind of costs until they knew they were going to get approval on this use. So I guess we would ask that the approval be contingent upon getting those, because if they don't get those permits, they have to have water and sewer, right? So, I mean, the project would just die anyway if they couldn't get those permits.
Other questions for the applicant?
I have a question about the septic. You said the perk tests have been done. Where did you do testing for that? What kind of, you know, that would give an idea of where the septic is generally going to be located?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have that permit with me tonight, but or that report.
Do you want to join us?
Yeah, maybe Brad can speak a little bit more on that.
Thank you. My name is Brad Baumler. I'm the owner of CTI Ready Mix. And we have started the permitting process in both cases for the well as well as the septic. The septic, if you look at the site plan that we submitted, we perk test 2 locations in this area. The one that we expected to go would be on the east side of the site. And we feel like that's probably where it's going to end up at this point. But we have perk test that site, and it does ask that. So it was just a matter of getting that permit, and we can do it upon approval. The well, as far as that goes, is what I have been communicating with them, and I believe I understood that the person with Gingrich had already reached out to Story County and started this process, but there's additional work that they need to do in order to, that starts the meter running in order to do it. They felt very confident because they're very shallow and our demand is low for this. And to kind of give you an idea, they said 50 to 100 feet. The sand pits that are just to the north of it are 50 to 85 feet in depth that they're extracting material. So the water levels are quite high in this area, a lot of sand. So that's why the wells don't have to be very deep, and our requirement or our need for the amount of water we need is quite low for this application.
Is the water used in the production, or is it just side activities, washing trucks?
Correct. It's used for the production. When you make concrete material, it's basically Portland cement, rock, sand, and water. I'll just say those are the easiest parts to it. So environmentally friendly products, one of the most well-known used products on earth, and environmentally good too.
With your uses, are you expecting to have any DNR permits for septic or well or anything like that? Or are your calculations low enough that you're not going to meet the DNR?
Yeah, I mean, the truth being, you know, in general, I know it says 10 trucks parking there. It's going to be a very low use sanitary system. I talked to the engineer about that, and you know, we'll probably generally, I'm just thinking, probably have 4 to 5 employees at the site. You know, we put 10 trucks there just in case you need 10 trucks for a given day, but it'll likely be much lower than that. Depending on the situation, again, summers are going to be busier, winters are going to be slower. But I would say if you average 5 people per day in that site, that'd be it. And it's basically just, that's all you've got.
Okay.
So just whatever typical people needs are. All I'd like to say is, you know, from our standpoint, you know, we've been working on this for some time. We understand what the county wants, what they need. I would just ask, you know, for it to be conditional so we can keep moving through the process, just because if we just keep delaying, we get into cold weather and we're getting into conditions, and we'd really like to get started, at least with some of the grading this fall, and keep things moving forward. Otherwise, it just jeopardizes that by the time we go through another process again. I think I can have the well permits. They told me in 2 to 3 weeks. I got off the phone with the lady right before I came in there, and she's already started that process from our last meeting. And I think that one's the one that's going to take a little bit of time, but I just ask if you could make it conditional. Again, like Aaron said, it would die anyway if it didn't get approved, so it wouldn't matter. But at least it would keep things moving forward for us.
Thank you.
Yes.
I guess maybe help me understand, because I feel like this is a little different than some of the other ones that we've done, where we've said, you know, one of the conditions is you have to go get a permit for a well or whatever it might be. And this one we're saying, no, they need to get the permits done and then come back and hypothetically wait another month, right, for us to meet and go over this. What do you think causes this one to be maybe a little different? Can you help me understand that?
One, we don't know where the location of the well and the septics are going to go on the site. We don't have that information that's provided to us. So if there's any changes to the site plan, we would need to, that's a whole a modification that may have to come to the Board of Adjustment, depending on the changes to the site plan. Or if it's insignificant that staff can review, that hypothetically that could be needed. Also then just trying to acknowledge the concerns and comments from the Story County Health Department in this. They did voice those concerns that they didn't know where the well and septic were going to go, and especially in relation to the City of Nevada well field.
And Planning and Zoning Commission didn't have this as part of their...
The condition of approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission that the septic and well permit be, let me get it exactly, is this number D and E, that the applicant shall submit approved septic permits and the applicant shall submit approved well permits and demonstrate location of the site plan. It starts with number one, prior to review by the Story County Board of Adjustment. I made the decision to bring it forward to you even without those two items. Rightfully, we should have probably not even come here tonight. But in the interest of moving it along.
So Planning and Zoning said, before this meeting have the permits.
Right.
We're having the discussion today with the Okay.
So if we were to grant the conditional use permit before the permits go through for septic and water, and then the septic and water don't go through, the conditional use permit becomes null and void, or it's still active because we've approved it?
I think we would want to make the, I think staff's perspective, we would want to come back to you to rescind that conditional use permit, because not all conditions of approval have been satisfied, and those conditions of approval are set by you all. So staff cannot nullify it. We have in the regulations what if no activity has occurred within 5 years. Are you looking that up? How to make it, yeah. So in essence, if the standards of approval are not satisfied, we would have to bring it back to you all.
But could the condition read that we have to obtain a permit in order for construction to start? I mean, if we don't obtain a permit, then wouldn't it naturally die? It would no longer be.
I guess I'm just curious if there's a way we can create a condition, and maybe nobody else on the board is interested in this, but if there's a way to create a condition that offers the protection that we need to have, and maybe that is, you know, if there's any changes to the site plan, I have to come back and resubmit something, but allows them to move forward. Because I understand we're supposed to have this stuff done, it's not done, and I understand things happen. But I also get what you're saying, because this is close, whether it's going to be very deep or not, or the water volume, it is close to the city of Ames wells, et cetera. So I don't know. What do you all think?
I agree that it would be beneficial for them to be able to get started, especially with the weather that's coming up. If we can get something written down that works with wording to protect, I'm very for that.
I guess I'm going to know a little more about why you brought this to us, what your thought process was for bringing it to us, even though you don't normally do this. Was it timeline related?
Yes.
Okay. That was your main motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And then if the conditional use permit, we set a condition and it doesn't, the permits aren't pulled in a certain amount of time, what's the process? I'm trying to understand how many delays could happen if all of a sudden ducks aren't put in the road. Do we have to rescind it and then approve it, or can we just make a change?
The one thing from my understanding of septic designs, and I don't do a lot of them, but typically that area cannot be disturbed. You want that land natural in its natural condition, unless you're doing a mound system or something like that.
Right.
And so without knowing that location, it's harder for me to understand how construction will start if that location is not identified. Not that it couldn't. I mean, it's a 3-something acre site, I think, is what she said. So that might also be a question to the owner and the engineer of what are they looking to start? Because, like, yes, you could start grading and you could do all that, but if you have to reserve an area for septic that we don't currently know, how does that work? And then I also know that with some wells, there are setback requirements that can't be sprayed with adjacent farmers, DOT spraying, things like that. So again, without that location, how is construction going to impact that? Those are just some questions that I'm currently working on a project in another community with that. So maybe those are my questions back to them. I don't know if you will,
sure,
if
go
that.
Ahead.
So
I guess I would say that based on this discussion tonight, I mean, he's going to submit for those permits as soon as they're able to. I mean, like tomorrow if they're able to. So, I mean, we'll know that information. It's just waiting a month for another meeting. You know, you're going to put us into November, and then you can't really grade, you know, if you have good weather maybe. But But we anticipate having those locations figured out in short time. It's just waiting.
And do you anticipate that those, how, and maybe this is a question for staff as well, but how, if those, once those locations are known, does the site plan change?
I mean, I guess it's not going to change our building. It's not going to change. I mean, if we had to adjust some grading up in the northeast corner or something, I mean, are we allowed to do that? You know, I mean, he owns the property to the east, and then we still got property to the south that's not being disturbed. So, I mean, there's options there.
Are there options that it would possibly expand into those areas that, if depending on location and things like that?
I mean, I don't know if it potentially could expand into that, you know, what we call phase two. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I just don't know. I mean, like I said, we should know in short time frame where those are going to be located because all of the preliminary testing has been done.
And can I ask from a construction side, what are you looking to start first? Like, what are you hoping by approving it today? What are you hoping to start working on first? What goes in first with a batch plant? I don't.
Well, the grading.
But what part of the site plan are you grading?
Grading. I think he's looking to grade and then, yeah, you're gonna, just to get the grading done.
You have to go up there for the record.
Yeah. Apologies. We got to get it in minutes.
Sorry about that. Yeah, we just want to get started on the grading. If we can, depending on the conditions, you know, is it possible to get some foundations in on the building? Possibly. But that would probably be a stretch, honestly, at this point. But grading is quite critical at this point.
Okay. That answers my question to you. Can I ask you a question based on that answer? So one of the conditions somewhere was something about, in the conjunction, if the conjunctions aren't aligned anymore, they would have to take the site back to original, correct? Could there be could our condition somehow be in wording to they could start grading, but until they have the permits, they don't technically have a CE? Can the grading start before they have the permit so that they can start that part of it? But
no, we're not able to issue a grading permit.
And they wouldn't want to take a risk of not getting a conditional use permit.
And aside from that, we also have the issue of the floodplain permits too, which is an administrative, but we would need the state floodplain permits before we'll act on our floodplain permit. We won't approve a grading permit until we've approved a floodplain permit.
Okay.
And how are we supposed to approve a grading permit when we don't know where the well or septic are going to be?
Yeah, we've just done things sometimes where it's like, it's the owner's. If they screw it up, then they have to kind of go back into it. But I understand what you're saying with all that. So I think my questions are answered. Does anyone need explanation on
that? So the general thought is we're hoping that the ducks all fall in perfect row where it goes. Well permits, septic permit, and then the CUP, and then you can start issuing permits to try to speed things up. That's the general idea. So we're hoping that nothing comes up.
And how does the floodplain permit fit into that ducks in a row?
We Story County cannot act on a floodplain permit until the conditional use permit's approved, and the state of Iowa has acted on, and the Army Corps of Engineers, if they are requiring permits, that they approve their permits.
So the CUP has to come first, and then is that what I understand?
Right. I can't issue a floodplain permit for a building that's not a permitted land use.
So in some way, this is critical to occur. It has to happen first.
Yeah, the conditional use permit establishes the land use.
When I hear all that, I think if we're thinking about weather, and this doesn't affect my decision, I'm just, that's a lot of ducks to get in a row.
It is.
So Marcus and I just drafted for your benefit, trying to get to, if two additional conditions of approval. And I will note this fact that we are offering this does not change staff's recommendation. So just trying to assist the Board of Adjustment. Number one, if septic and well permits are not approved by all regulatory authorities within 60 days of action by the Story County Board of Adjustment, this conditional use permit is revoked. So you don't need to bring it back to you. It just says revoked. And then all, and that's all regulatory authority. So I don't know if the state or the county who has to approve everything. So we're covering the basis there. And number two, all septic and well permits are required prior to any work, including grading, beginning on the site.
That's kind of a given anyway, because of the way the permits all line up, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Sometimes.
Okay.
But it would allow the process to move along faster, if I understand correctly, rather than having to wait and come back.
In a month.
Yeah. Because they could then start as soon as those permits are received.
Mm-hmm.
You're the water expert.
No, I'm not. I'm also just considering, like, just the construction business. Like, everybody's gung-ho. Like, we got to get – winter's coming, like, as soon as the temperatures drop. So I understand that part of it, but they also understand that part of it too. So, like, is – their rush, our rush, kind of a, sorry, I'm giving you both sides tonight. So someone else asked some questions for a little bit.
What, maybe you guys already said this, but question for the applicant. What prevented you from applying for these permits earlier in the, should we say, good part of the weather season?
Well, I would say that for the septic and water permits, I mean, I guess common practice is a lot of times we don't get those permits until we have an approved land use. I mean, that's not uncommon. You don't get your DNR water and sewer permits before you have an approved plan set. I mean, so we're viewing it the same way. We did get, he's got contractors on board. He's got the consultants ready to go. It's just he wanted to have confirmation of the land use before he spent the money on all of that. Because if he doesn't get his land use, then he's wasted money on permits that he can't build, essentially. But he does have those consultants in line because he wouldn't move forward with the project if they didn't feel comfortable that he could have water and stuff.
To me, is a risk everyone takes into a building project. It's just a larger risk at the business level, right, versus at homeowner level.
Well, I think we have some language. If we want to do that, we have the language there.
Yeah, I guess in my head is if we approve this, like, what's the bad thing that could happen, right? To protect according to the regulations or the ordinances we have to adhere to, like what could happen? It's really the question in my head. And I'm not sure, other than just the ducks not falling in a row at the time they need to, I'm not sure there's any.
I don't, and I think that is a risk, but I don't think that's a risk for the county.
It's not a risk.
The county, yeah.
Just a point of order. Are you closing public comment? We just need to note time and all that stuff for the record.
Are we good questions for the applicant, et cetera?
I think so.
We'll close public comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't mean to write. We
appreciate
it. No, you're good. You got to.
Procedures.
Yes.
So you're the person that's been going, you know, fighting both sides and speaking for both sides.
You're arguing with yourself.
Yeah.
I know.
You're going either way.
And I don't think so. That's where I'm struggling. I don't know. Developmentally, I totally get their side. We just also haven't had a big push from staff to go against them on things too, so I don't That's also where I'm struggling. Like, obviously there's a reason for that. So that's kind of where I'm conflicted.
If I may, I did not share all your alternatives. I just went ahead and jumped to four because that's visually what I saw. But just as a reminder, you can approve it without any conditions, which is item number one. You can approve it with conditions. You can deny it, or you could do number four, which is staff's recommendation. But again, you have these four alternatives for you as a approving authority.
And I guess to me, it's between number two with a couple of additional conditions or number four.
I would agree with that.
Are we concerned about any precedents for this? And I ask that because I'm wondering how often this happens. Maybe the staff knows, but that we've done this in the past where we've approved something before we had all the documents.
Not very often. Rightfully so, I should have held off on even taking a Planning and Zoning Commission. But I was trying to be cognizant of upcoming seasons and.
Yeah.
Which I think is where we are too. And I respect that. I think with the wording that you and Marcus have worked up, that I would be in favor of number two.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that as well. I think that offers us some protection.
So just to clarify, the two outstanding permits from your perspective to fulfill the COP are septic and well.
And floodplain.
The
floodplain is it's a condition of approval that just basically always put on you had to have a floodplain permit.
In the other conditions right now? That's already up there.
Right.
So then, okay. I was double checking there wasn't any other septic, well, and insert here permit.
Number four and five gets to the other state permits, and then number five is the floodplain permit. And you see, like I said, you see that a lot of times that we add that just, again, a message that the floodplain permits are very important.
The safety net. Well, for the sake of moving along, do you want to read?
do you want to review them before we actually say?
Yeah, and I think we have to do it in a way. We have to sort of approve the findings of fact with these modifications.
Correct.
First.
Yep. So the first one is, if septic and well permits are not approved by all regulatory authorities within 60 days of action by the Story County Board of Adjustment, the CUP is revoked. The second is, all septic and well permits are required prior to any work, including grading, beginning on the site. How did you pick the 60 days? That was just a common number that's used in these. Okay.
And it's reasonable to believe that that can occur.
Unreasonable, yeah. Okay, so I haven't said my opinion, but I agree that I don't see any harm that we can see today to the county ordinances. So I can now add this to the approval of findings of fact if you guys are ready to go to that step.
Yeah.
Okay. So I move to approve the findings of fact with two additional conditions. Condition number one, if septic and well permits are not approved by all regulatory authorities within 60 days of action by the Story County Board of Adjustment, the CUP is revoked. And I should say CUP 25-000012 is revoked. Condition two, all septic and well permits are required prior to any work, including grading, beginning on the site.
I think there needs to be something for number seven in regards to the wet roads, something included about the engineer, because it's very vague.
Say a little more about what you would propose there, Nathan.
I don't know what I would propose, but just saying you can't operate when the road is wet is way too vague.
At the discretion of the county engineer?
It's something along those lines, yeah. I don't know how it would be worded in there, but
I don't either. But
that just, how can you tell them this morning the roads were wet because it rained? Does that mean they can't operate? That's what we're telling them with this condition.
That's not really defined. Yeah.
So either, I would say either take it out and say, if the county engineer determines road conditions are not appropriate for trucks, they can't operate, or I don't know.
Yeah, if you have any suggestions about tightening up that wording.
This was actually comments offered by the county engineer. What I will say, if it is removed and there is an embargo that is placed on a county road, that will cease all operations for heavy traffic. And maybe that, just knowing that operationally, that's how the county operates.
I don't think there's a need for a condition then, if that's how the county already operates. I would delete that condition.
So either deleting it or modifying at the end at the county engineer's discretion. We'll cease at the county engineer's discretion.
And I think I'm comfortable with that, because that is something beyond just beyond the embargo. County engineer could.
Yeah, that's fine. I also wondered, with the conditions, is the applicant's okay with those limits on hours? Or do they... And were they okay with that, or is that too restrictive?
I think I have to get that response. I think I have to we'll reopen public comments momentarily. So please respond.
Is this on? Okay. Let me read that again. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. is somewhat restrictive, just due to the fact that a lot of people start hauling material and have material on site by 7 a.m. A lot of employees show up by 6, they load by 6:30, and they're on the road. So I would say that's probably pretty restrictive, and there's a lot of things that can be in and out of control with that. As you get closer to winter, I would say, I would run that April through November. That's probably a little bit closer. The winter time is a little bit more reasonable, but I don't know if there's a way to write that generally try to do it. It's just, there's a lot of variables that go into that. Summertime work is just a lot different than wintertime work. So
will you guys be doing like highway work overnights and stuff running out of this
can
plant?
Happen. That could happen. And I appreciate you bringing that up. That is very possible. So, if you went ahead and had something like that, that would restrict you, a lot. So, something I would like to entertain a little bit different, or rewrite it a little bit different. Generally speaking, these hours are very close. Generally.
Leanne, are there any residential people on this road that would be affected, or is it just the other, the gravel plant in Hallett's?
Yeah, it's just the gravel plant. It's En-ROADS. It would be us, En-ROADS, and Hallett Materials. So those three are it. There's no residential.
At this point, no, but there is a proposal to put 300-some units inside the city limits of Ames, where the old truck stop was.
And I'm curious, do we have these kind of limitations on other industrial enterprises within A1, like these hours limitations? Is that pretty common for us?
I can't tell you exactly what sites they were, but I know in past conditional use permits we've placed hours of operation limitations.
What's the why behind these, I guess?
Just to recognize the potential impacts for traffic and the coming in and out of the site onto Highway 30.
Well, I guess I personally have a problem of limiting it, but I don't know if we completely take it out or if we just say in general operations will be this with limited exceptions or.
Are we trying to get to daylight hours? Is that what we're trying to do here?
Kind of seems that way.
Yes, it was trying to be seasonal and reflecting daylight hours.
Can we just say daylight hours?
That doesn't work for overnight construction.
It doesn't, no. But. You know, that's a change from, I don't know how I feel about that. If there's going to be a residential area and we've done this in the past and we're saying, okay, you can work overnight. I understand that is advantageous to the operation of the business, but.
So I guess I made the assumption erroneously that this was something that you had agreed, that you knew this was there and there wasn't a discussion about changing the hours. Like
The conditions of approval have been forwarded to the applicant, and then they were shared at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
I spent most of my life growing up on a concrete site, and you're right. Trucks arrive by 7.
Yeah, and I'm, like I said, it's pretty variable depending on the timeline. Can be kind of all over the board a little bit depending on what it is, but generally – your hours of operation, I kind of like the daylight thing, but that's generally how it's going to be. We aren't in a residential sector where there's a lot of, you know, people coming in and out. I don't know what the two businesses that the two Hallett and the other Inroads has got, but I know there's trucks lined up at Hallett at 5:30 a.m. So.
And staff, you said that this will come back before phase two is allowed to happen, or there will be a modification to?
Correct.
So it will come back.
We don't have any idea what phase two includes.
Okay. Are we able to put an asterisk on the condition of, like, for phase one, this is what we're going to do, but then let's review that again before phase two to kind of see what projects, what businesses, what hours have been working, or?
From an implementation standpoint, I would not support that. That makes it difficult from staff, from enforcement, too. And even adding a generally makes it difficult for staff. I mean, if the applicant has made a case to you all as the decision makers to remove it, that's within your purview to do.
Can I ask to remove it? I think just generally from an experience standpoint, that business can be pretty variable. The businesses to the north of it are well without this range of time. I guess I would ask for some flexibility there, given the fact that the truck traffic isn't going to be that high in and out of this site. If it was 24/7, I get it. But we generally like to have, I would consider the majority of our work is going to take place between probably 6:30 and 4, 5 o'clock at the latest, generally in most days. Depending if you're hauling a residential wall or something, that can go maybe a little bit later, but there's just not as much volume to it. I guess I'd ask if you can remove it. It might be the easiest way to do it. Again, we're not the amount of traffic that we've got coming in and out of this site. If you look at it per day count, is relatively low. So I would ask that. The other factor is our materials very close, right across the road that we're hauling into the site. You know, most concrete plants have all that truck traffic coming in. We will not. So that's one of the strategic reasons we're picking this site, because logistically it just reduces traffic overall for us to haul our material to where we need it. And I guess I would ask if you can remove it just due to the fact that it's not going to be a real high traffic plant. or at least change the language on it some.
I will just want to share with everyone that within the HI heavy industrial district, again, this is a use by right in that district, but it's set, if it was zoned that, it'd be a use by right. There are a set of criteria that go along with that use by right. One is that concrete and asphalt crushers may only operate during the hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So still, that's a crushing operation, but we did put some conditions of approval on those types of uses. That's where the 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. did come from. Can I add a point of order? Is there a second to your motion? Was there a second?
Oh, we haven't got that far yet. Okay. I don't think we got to a motion yet, did we?
No. Well, I motioned, but then we never still hang in there.
If we are going to change,
you want to close public comment?
Yeah, we'll close public comments. Thank you. If we are going to change 7 or 8, I would suggest we can tackle them separately.
I do have a question around. I think the spirit of the hours is keeping it quiet at night, which may or may not matter depending on what happens around it. But truck traffic. I know we have the parking spaces in there. Can you go back to the first 5 conditional? I didn't know if there was something. We're not limiting the truck, the trips per day in the conditions.
No.
Just the parking spaces.
Just parking.
Okay.
Do you want to, should we move forward with those two in terms of
what we have to decide
on? The question is if we need to do a friendly amendment.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
The question is whether or not we should do a friendly amendment
to the 7 and 8.
Oh, right. But I think we could handle that. The item at hand is whether we add those two.
And then to the next one.
And then do a friendly amendment.
That's fine. So,
and then we could do the other one or two separately.
Because this is just findings of fact at this point.
Yeah, correct.
We haven't made the motion for the other items.
These are not the actual conditions yet. These are just the findings of fact items.
You want to...
Yeah, because I was pulling these conditions in the findings of fact.
How do we again help us? How do we add this logic to the?
Are these part of the findings of fact?
Yes, they're in both your findings of fact and your decision.
So then we have to add.
I would recommend you actually withdraw your motion.
Okay.
Start again.
Okay.
We're trying to actually avoid friendly.
Yeah.
Amendments. Withdraw it. Start again. So you can go, I can put this up here and you can go maybe one by one if there's any changes to each condition
before we make the next motion. Okay. I withdraw my motion.
And one was just these things had to happen before going to you guys from the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I see the 7 to 7. I don't know that I'm swayed on that one just because in the other use by right, it's 7 to 7. I don't.
For crushing.
Right.
Not for all operation.
Would we consider because he also said 6:30 to 4 or 5, which I know again doesn't cover overnight projects, but if we're only looking at 10 to 14 trips. I don't know.
Is this
that one's a harder one for me?
Is that our hours of operation typically, I guess, staff question, more of a monitored by complaint, or does somebody actually actively watch whether or not they have someone there before 7?
We operate our enforcement is mostly based on a complaint based approach, but that being said, out. And about early, and if we do see something that's not in compliance with approved permits and requirements, we are bound to enforce on them.
Sure.
I would be open to either daylight hours on the front end, maybe not on the back end, but or 6 a.m. or something that's more akin to what standard operation is. I think of it slightly different, like brushing plant.
Okay.
And I would be, I think 6 a.m. is logical.
Versus daylight hours?
Yeah, because daylight savings. change one day to the next.
Because it goes late, you mean?
Right, it could be 8:30 or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, daylight doesn't start so early right now, unfortunately.
And if you have a warm October like we're having, you can still get quite a bit done.
Where did we land on 7? I apologize.
We talked about adding at the end at discretion of county engineer.
You want to try and put something together that gives us that phrase, changes it to 6 a.m. and see where we go on a vote?
We're kind of forgetting about Nathan. Nathan, do you have any input on what we're saying before we move to motions?
I still would say remove number 8, but that's fine. I would hate to see a business not be eligible to participate in bids for projects, because in that area, a lot of stuff's going to be state projects because we're restricting the hours. So that's more where I'm coming from is I don't think it's going to be a frequent thing, but I don't want to restrict it and make it so prices on things could be higher because a company can't bid.
I would tend to agree with Nathan.
Yeah, that's fair.
But so I'm asking, like, why are we doing that? Because there's noise. But, like, why would we do this?
Can you enlighten us as to what the Planning and Zoning Commission was thinking when they created this condition?
No, this was a recommendation from staff that we proposed to Planning and Zoning Commission.
Okay.
Do Hallett's and En-ROADS have the same hours of any sort of hours of operation limit?
Hallett's has been there since before I even started with Story County, so I honestly don't know. En-ROADS?
Because I know we've done that CUP a couple times. I just don't remember.
I know Manats is inside Ames city limits, but I'm curious if they have limitations being inside the city limits, since we're kind of basing this on future residential in city limits being a justification for it. If Ames isn't limiting it and inside their city limits, I think it's silly of us to limit.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Manats.
I said concrete plants aren't noisy. There's going to be some dust and lights turned on during operation, but in the location that it's at, I don't see where it would hurt anything for them. And we're talking about traffic overnight, which shouldn't affect residential other than the noise of trucks driving by, but they're going to be abutting Highway 30 anyway.
I'm okay removing it unless someone has an argument for why we need it.
I agree.
Okay. Okay. Are we ready to move to amend? So I got the two. So before I do the motion, I got the two here, and then I'm going to edit 7 and 8.
And then the
remove 8,
the highlighted to number 9. That was not in your staff report.
Okay. I move to approve the findings of fact with the following edits to the conditions. We want to edit condition 7 to say, during wet conditions on the gravel road, concrete operations will cease at discretion of the county engineer. We want to completely remove condition 8 that says proposed hours of operation will be limited to 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. from April to October and 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. the remaining months. We want to edit condition 9 to say landscaping and required screening. Missing a verb, I think. Required by the regulation shall be installed within 180 days of the issuance of the final zoning permit. Okay, this is grammar that doesn't seem right.
And then add two new conditions. First condition to add, if septic and well permits are not approved by all regulatory authorities within 60 days of action by the Story County Board of Adjustment, CUP 25-000012 is revoked. And the second condition to add, all septic and well permits are required prior to any work, including grading, beginning on the site.
I will second that motion of the findings of fact.
Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Roll call for findings of fact. Andrew Friend?
Yes.
Lara Jondal?
Yes.
Kelly Excel?
Yes.
Matt Neubauer?
Yes.
And Nathan Hovig?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, can you put there you go.
No, sorry.
Tricky. I move that move forward with alternative number two. Story County Board of Adjustment approves the proposed conditional use permit. Application is put forth in case number CUP 25-000012 with the conditions established in the findings of fact. All right.
I second that.
Can we get a roll call vote?
Friend?
Yes.
Excel.
Did you say Excel? Sorry. Yes.
Neubauer?
Yes.
Jondal?
Yes.
Hovig?
Yes, sorry, I clicked on something, couldn't get out. Yes.
Okay, very good. Good luck. Thank you very much for coming in. Okay, new business.
We don't have any.
Any board staff comments?
You will have a November. More than likely, you will have a November board.
Yeah.
Should we place wagers?
You will, because we're going to ask you to approve your calendar on November no matter what. So if that's the only item on your agenda, we'll do it virtually. We'd like to get that done before December so we can get everything out there. Yeah, we're going to build in that month turnout. We're not right now. We're back to the 3 weeks or 2.5 weeks, and it's going to be painful right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we can look for a
motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of adjourning signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Same sign. We are adjourned.